The AGPL violation story in the 3D printing community is the kind of conflict that looks niche until you realize it's actually a test case for whether open source licenses have teeth.
Right. The specifics involve a 3D printer manufacturer. The LWN article documents the ongoing situation that appears to be shipping firmware derived from AGPL licensed code without complying with the AGPL's requirements. The AGPL, for listeners unfamiliar, is the GNU Afero General Public License. It's the strongest version of the GPL family of licenses, designed specifically to close what's sometimes called the SaaS loophole.
Explain that loophole because it's not obvious.
Standard GPL requires you to provide source code if you distribute software. But distribute has a specific legal meaning, and if you're running software on a server and users only interact with it through a network interface, some interpretations hold that you're not distributing the software at all. You're providing a service. The AGPL was written to close that. It requires source disclosure if users are interacting with the software over a network. For 3D printer firmware, the question is whether software running on the printer and communicating with a host computer triggers that provision.
And the HN community is treating this as a proxy battle for something larger, whether the open source licensing ecosystem has enforcement mechanisms that actually work, or whether companies can continue to free ride on open source work without consequence.
The enforcement gap is real and has been for years. The Software Freedom Conservancy and similar organizations do legal enforcement work, but they are resource constrained. Most GPL violations go unaddressed because the cost of litigation is prohibitive for individual contributors or small projects. The 3D printing case is getting attention partly because the community is large and technically engaged enough to document the violation in detail and sustain public pressure.
The Tell HN post about PayPal blocking Graphene OS is a different flavor of the same theme. A privacy-focused Android operating system finding that a major payments platform won't work on their device. Graphene OS is an open-source, security-hardened Android build that has a dedicated following in the security and privacy community. The concern PayPal appears to have is that Graphene OS fails their device attestation checks.
Which raises a genuinely difficult question. Device attestation, where an app verifies that the device it's running on hasn't been modified in ways the app developer considers risky, is a legitimate security mechanism for preventing fraud. But it can also function as a vector for platform lock-in that penalizes users who want control over their own hardware. Graphene OS has implemented its own attestation that should satisfy reasonable security requirements, but PayPal's system doesn't recognize it.
The HN thread was relatively small, 12 comments, which is interesting because the issue has broader implications than its engagement suggests. This is part of a pattern where open, privacy-respecting alternatives to dominant platforms face ecosystem friction that has nothing to do with their security properties and everything to do with market structure.
The Zorin and the Short Link piece is a lighter political technology story about how a political campaign used a URL shortener in ways that created unexpected technical and political complications. It's a good illustration of how small technical decisions in political operations can have outsized consequences. And the HN community found it interesting precisely, because most of them have built URL shorteners at some point and could see exactly where things went wrong.
The Twitter Viewer tool, a site that lets you browse Twitter content without an account, generated almost 300 comments, which reflects the ongoing frustration with Twitter's decision to lock down its content behind account walls. The HN community has a particular interest in open web principles, and tools that restore access to previously public information tend to get traction there.
There's a legal complexity to these tools that the comments explored at length. Accessing publicly available information that a platform has chosen to wall off sits in murky territory under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act and various international equivalents. Whether viewing content that was once public through an unofficial client constitutes unauthorized access is genuinely unsettled law in most jurisdictions.